Chapter 41. What are you doing? Master Blint backhanded Kylar soundly. He stood, furious, the illusory features of Hugh Gibbet melting away like smoke. Kylar staggered to his feet, his head still spinning and his ears ringing. I had to. You were gone.
Gone planning this?
Blint whispered hoarsely.
Gone planning this?
Never mind now. We've got 3 minutes until the guard's next round.
He nudged Eline's limp form with a toe.
That one's still alive,
Durzo Blint said.
Kill her.
Then go find the Kakari while I fix the deader. We'll discuss your punishment later.
I'm too late. You killed the Duchess? Kylar asked, rubbing his shoulder where the door had hit him when Durzo burst in.
The deader was the prince. Someone else got there first.
Boots were clumping up the steps. Durzo unsheathed retribution and checked the hallway.
Gods! The prince?
Kylar looked at the unconscious girl. Her innocence was irrelevant. Even if he didn't kill her, they'd think she helped steal the Kakari and kill the prince.
Kylar!
Kylar looked up, dazed. It was all like a bad dream. It couldn't be happening. He held out the pouch, limply.
Scowling, Durzo snatched it away from him and turned it over.
The globe of edges fell into his hand.
Damn! Just what I thought, he said.
What? Kylar asked. But Durzo wasn't in any mood to answer questions.
Did the girl see your face?
Kylar's silence was enough.
Take care of it. Kylar, that's not a request. It's an order. Kill her.
Thick, white scars crisscrossed what had once been a beautiful face. Her eyes were swelling, blackening, and that was as much Kylar's fault as the 10-year-old scars were.
Love is a noose,
Blint had told him when he began his apprenticeship a decade ago.
No,
Kylar said. Durzo looked back.
What did you say?
Black blood dribbled down retribution, pooling on the floor. There was still time to stop, time to obey and live. But if he let Eline die, Kylar would be lost in shadow forever.
I won't kill her. And I won't let you.
I'm sorry, Master.
Do you have any idea what that means?
Durzo snapped.
Who is this girl that she's worth being hunted for the rest of your short...
He stopped.
She's Dol Guhl.
Yes, Master.
I'm sorry. By the Night Angels, I don't want apologies. I want obedient.
Durzo held up a finger for silence. The footfalls were close now. Durzo threw open the door and blurred into the hall inhumanly fast. Retribution flashing silver in the low light. The guard fell in two thumps. It was Stumpy. The older guard who'd frisked Kylar so gingerly when he'd cased the estate this morning. The hall lantern behind Durzo swaddled darkness's favorite child in shadow, casting his form over Kylar and making his face invisible. Silhouetted, black blood dripped from the tip of retribution. Drip. Drip. Durzo's voice strained like bending steel.
Kylar, this is your last chance.
Yes, Kylar said, his bollock dagger hissing against its scabbard as he turned to face the man who'd raised him, who'd been more than a father to him. It is. There was the sound of something metallic rolling across marble. It came toward Kylar. He raised a hand and felt the Kakari slap into his outstretched palm. He turned his hand over, and saw the Kakari burning a brilliant incandescent blue. It was stuck to his palm. As he looked, runes began burning on the surface of globe. They shifted, changed, as if trying to speak to him. Blue light bathed his face, and he could see through the Kakari. It was sucking blood from the cut on his palm. He looked up and saw dismay on Master Blint's face.
"No, no, it's mine!"
Blint yelled. The Kakari pooled like black oil in an instant. Blue light exploded like a supernova. Then the pain came. The cold in Kylar's hand became pressure. It felt like his hand was splitting apart. Staring at the now uniformly burning puddle in his hand with horror, Kylar saw that it was shrinking. It was pushing itself into his hand. Kylar felt the Kakari enter his blood. Every vein bulged and contorted, freezing as the Kakari passed through him. He didn't know how long it lasted. He sweated and shivered and sweated coldly. Gradually, the cold faded from his limbs. More gradually still, warmth replaced it. Perhaps seconds, perhaps half an hour later, Kylar found himself on the floor. Oddly, he felt good. Even face down on stone, he felt good. Complete, like a gap had been bridged, a hole had been filled. "I'm a Kakarifer. I was born for this." Then he remembered. He looked up. From the look of frozen horror on Durzo's face, it must have taken only seconds. Kylar jumped to his feet, feeling stronger, healthier, more full of energy than he could ever remember. The look on Durzo's face wasn't anger. It was grief. Bereavement. Kylar slowly turned his hand over. The skin was still cut on his palm, but it wasn't bleeding anymore. The Kakari had seemed to push into... No, it couldn't have. From every pore in his hand, black poured out like sweat. It congealed. In a moment, the Kakari rested in his palm. Strange glee filled Kylar. Fear followed. He wasn't sure the glee was all his own. It was as if the Kakari were happy to have found him. He looked back to Durzo, feeling stupid, so far out of his depth he didn't know how to act. It was then he realized how clearly he could see Durzo's face. The man still stood in the hallway, the lantern behind him. A moment before the Kakari, his face had been all but invisible. Kylar could still see the shadows falling on the floor where Durzo blocked the light, but he could see through them. It was like looking through glass. You could tell the glass was there, but it didn't impede your vision. Kylar glanced around Eline's little room and saw that the same applied to everything he looked at. The darkness welcomed his eyes now. His eyes were sharper, clearer. He could see further, could see the castle across the river as if it were high noon.
"I have to have the Kakari," Durzo said. "If he doesn't get it, he'll kill my daughter. Night angels, have mercy, Kylar, what have you done?"
I didn't do anything," Kylar said. He held the Kakari out. "Take it. You can have it. Get your daughter back."
Durzo took it from him. He stared into Kylar's eyes, his voice sorrowful. "You bonded it. It bonds for life, Kylar. Your talent will work now, whether you're holding it or not. But its other powers won't work for anyone else until you're dead." There was the sound of feet running up the steps. Someone must have heard Durzo's yell. Kylar had to go now. The import of Durzo's words was barely beginning to register. Durzo turned to face whoever was coming up the steps.
and the prophet's words echoed in Kylar's ears.
If you don't kill Durzo Blint tomorrow, Kalador will take Cenaria. If you don't kill him by the day after that, everyone you love will die. If you do the right thing once, it will cost you years of guilt. If you do the right thing twice, it will cost you your life.
The Bollock dagger was in his hand. Durzo's back was turned.
Kylar could end it now. Not even Durzo's reflexes could stop him when Kylar was this close.
It would mean stopping an invasion, saving everyone he loved. Surely that meant he held Eileen's life in his hands right now. Logan's. Maybe the Drake's. Maybe the whole invasion hinged on this. Maybe hundreds or thousands of lives were balanced now on the point of his dagger. A quick, painless cut, and Durzo would die. Hadn't he said that life was empty, worthless, meaningless, cheap? He wouldn't be losing anything of value when he lost his life. He'd sworn that. Durzo had said it. And more. But Kylar had never really believed him. Mama Kay had already stabbed Durzo in the back with her lies. Kylar couldn't do it with his hands. The moment took on a startling clarity. It froze like a diamond and rotated before his eyes, every facet gleaming, futures shearing off and sparkling. Kylar looked from Eileen on his right hand to Durzo on his left, from Durzo to Eileen, Eileen to Durzo. There was his choice and their futures. He could kill Eileen, the woman he loved, or he could kill Durzo, who had raised him as his son. In every facet, the truth glared pitilessly. If one lived, the other must die.
No, Kylar said. Master, do it. Kill me.
Durzo looked at him as if he couldn't believe his ears.
She's only seen me. She won't be a threat to anyone if I'm dead. You can take the Kakari and save your daughter.
Blint's eyes filled with a look Kylar had never seen before. The hard, jagged cast of his master's face seemed to ease, and it made him seem a different man, not old and tired and worn, but younger, a man more like Kylar than Kylar had ever imagined Blint could look. Durzo blinked as bottomless wells of grief threatened to spill over in tears. He shook his head.
Just go, son.
Kylar wanted to go. He wanted to run away. But he was right. It was the only way. He stood there, frozen, but not with indecision. He was just praying that Durzo would act before he lost his courage.
What am I saying? I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to take Eileen out of here. I want to...
The door to the Duke's chambers opened, and the blood-spattered Duchess stumbled out, screaming,
Assassin! Assassin! He's killed the prince!
Durzo acted instantly. He slammed into Kylar, driving them both into Eileen's room. It took all of Kylar's presence of mind not to trample Eileen, but Durzo was still moving. He had a hold of Kylar's cloak and was swinging him with the surprising speed and force of his talent. Kylar exploded through the window and out into the night. By the grace of the god, or his cruelty, or sheer dumb luck, or Durzo's preternatural skills, Kylar landed squarely in the center of a hedge. He crashed through it, rolling out of control, and popped out onto the ground. It was ridiculous. Nothing was broken. Nothing was sprained. He didn't even get scratched. He looked up and saw guests craning their heads on the balcony where so recently he'd kissed Sierra, but they were on the other side of lamps and couldn't make him out. Then, the screaming from inside was taken up by others. women's voices, and men's. Orders were being shouted, and armed men were running, clanking and ringing in their chain mail. Kylar looked up at the second story with his heart in his throat. He didn't know whether to curse or laugh. The decision was out of his hands for now. He was alive, and it felt good. There was nothing else to do. Kylar jogged to the estate's garden gate, broke the lock, and disappeared into the night.